around from people like, quote unquote, making messes that you in a wheelchair have to clean up. Maybe you'd share a little bit about that to close.
Well, yeah, being around certain people, and I'm like, why the trash that is left, and people produce a lot of trash, but the thing is like I am a no mess left behind kind of guy, because I used to backpack up in the mountains in Washington. So, anyways, I have a difficulty with the messes, and they would be left behind, and the mentality of like, oh, screw it, because. They have different things, whatever's going through their head to where they don't feel like they are responsible for their own messes. But I would like clean up, and other people would too. They were ambulatory and get around and help me. But anyways, that is a problem that I have as well, is the messes that are left. Because if the homeless community would just like take responsibility for cleaning up after themselves, then there wouldn't be such a stigma, I believe, right now as there is. And I guess it also has to do with not being respectful of other things as far as talking or whatnot. I'm not really sure. But the messes, I do. It's easy to pinpoint that.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a shout-out for all my fellow vets. Wish them well on this Veterans Day, Armistice Day, and, know that they protected and served with honor. And no one should go homeless. I don't care whether they've got service time or not. What would you add to that on this Veterans Day, Casey?
I would add that to a salute to the fellow vets out there, and the honor that each vet carries of just having been in the service and been knowing that camaraderie and that connection. It is something that is due honor, and I hold my head up with that.
What's happening, everybody? We are back. Talking about Practice Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. The region's number one sports talk radio show in the building. We are all here today. We are all here after a long, long hiatus. It feels good to be back. So, as we do around here, let's start with some underwriting, and then we'll get right to the show. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Chico, a non-creedal religious group where all are welcome and honored. The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship offers open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands at 1289 Filbert Avenue in Chico and meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. More information about the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is available at uuchico.org or by calling 345-1890. But listen here, we got everybody in the building. Everybody's here. Statman Brad's here. John Lucan's here. Derek Usumaki's here. We're all here.
Everybody!
Everybody's here. So, Talking About Practice starts right now.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. Listen, we talking about practice. How silly is that, man? We talking about practice. Talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. The gang is back together. I am Jerome Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, the bearded bandito, Derek Isumaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
And as always, well, not always, because he just did a very, very, very long road trip with me from Houston back to Chico, California, my man John Lucan.
Can we not bring that up anymore?
Wow, pretty bitter about that. Sorry.
Memories, baby.
It was just memories. Just a long experience.
It was long.
Memories.
I had to look at that mustache for 5 days in a row.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
And we also have Statman Brad. What's happening, Statman Brad?
How's it going?
All right, so we got a lot of stuff to get into. Derek, can you tell the people what they can look forward to on the show today?
Big show for y'all, as we always do. We got the NBA playoffs in play. It was always Bron's plan to make a stake up.
Bron's plan.
A.K.A. LeBronto. Suck it, Drake. The Sixers show their youth as they're getting beat by a younger team with no superstars. Steph's playing ball while the Pelicans stall. Harden is looking smooth playing some Yaz flute. Our LA correspondent with some hockey updates. A little bit of licking going on down there.
What?
Stepman Brad with a North State update.
That's a good one.
And a little foot in mouth with our boy, a real Italian. Will Tomasino.
Tomasino!
All right.
Sini, I'm sorry, Tomasino.
So we got a big show. We're also going to discuss this fee here at Chico State for Chico State Athletics. We're going to put a little pressure on the administration, so we need your guys' support on that. But we'll get into all the details there here in a bit. First, let's talk NBA playoffs. It has been a while since we've all been together. So this is, it's nice. It's nice seeing your faces.
How's everyone doing?
Yeah.
We all good?
Yeah.
We've been out Derek, you good?
Yeah, that was really high. That was really very peaky.
John, you good?
Yeah.
Brad, you good?
Good.
Good. All right, everyone's good. That's good. It's good. Just need a double check.
I'm leaving it at that, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
We're good. We're good. So look, let's jump into the NBA playoffs. Let's start with LeBronto James. Bron's plan. I mean, Derek, you've been saying it forever now. We've been doing some version of this show for almost 4 years now. And for about 4 years, whenever we discuss the Toronto Raptors, you, like I have with the Atlanta Falcons, have said, do not trust the Toronto Raptors. They will always collapse in the playoffs. And
I mean, I haven't been as quite vocal with it, but I have steadfastly believed it because I do not have any faith in Kyle Lowry nor DeMar DeRozan. And they have just shown it once again that they're nice players. They're all-stars. They are not superstars, and they are far from it. Even with a constructed better team and all ideas, it's still getting their asses whooped by one-man show out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cavs are doing a really good job of taking DeRozan off a lot of his spots. I mean, let's not forget he's an all-star starter.
No, I'm not saying anything.
All-NBA player.
You can say I'm not showing shade at him, but I truly am. I have been for
quite some time.
You know, their game is not fun to watch. Kyle Lowry is kind of boring out there. And
yeah.
If he doesn't shoot, he just looks like he's just so mopey out there.
Well, I don't think they're...
Why are you swallowing your R's on Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry.
So Kyle Lowry, because he looks like a baby out there. I'm not going to lie. There's something about it. He's got an Eeyore essence about him. It's just like so sad.
Yeah, I feel like they're a great second fiddle to a superstar somewhere. I don't think that they're...
If LeBron was on that team, they'd be really good.
If LeBron's on any team, that team's going to be really good.
That team would be the Warriors, hands down.
Right.
If LeBron was on the...
Nah.
Swap out Kyle Lowry for LeBron James, boom, you're winning.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Their guard play is just not enough.
Yeah, they don't have enough people around that squad, even with LeBron. Now, they have enough to make the finals.
They're way better than the Cavs are right now. Like, that team, the current Cavs team...
I mean, are they way better? I think the only thing that's really tilting the scales here is the fact that...
I think their bench player is a lot more consistent. I'll say that.
Okay. I mean, still, I don't... Okay.
I have no numbers to back me up, obviously, because that's what I don't do
well,
that
Well, speaking of numbers, let's get into that. Because what LeBron is doing currently in this run in his playoff and in the playoffs is absolutely insane. LeBron, for the second time in these playoffs, has hit a buzzer beater to win a game, single-handedly basically keeping the Cavs afloat. This game winner, both game winners, he's going to his left and hitting stupid shots that you should never take, and both have been money. Now, I don't know if he called bank on this last one, but if you got to see it, 8 seconds left, they inbound the ball. For whatever reason, LeBron was able to just take the ball, grab the ball cleanly out of bounds. Raptors, Dwayne Casey, who's probably going to win Coach of the Year, be better there. You know who the ball is going to. Why is that man not double teamed? Why is he catching the ball freely?
How do you let him go to his left?
And then he's going up the court with 8 seconds left, guarded, but softly guarded, to hit a running floater off the left foot, falling out of bounds, basically. Hits a bank shot, and the Cavs win.
When they
to
inbounded
go up
the
3-0.
Ball, when they inbounded the ball, how much time was on the clock?
8 seconds.
8 seconds.
The fact that they were, I feel like, you don't have to full court press, but get up there on at least a half court line on the
well,
man.
Take right. the ball out of LeBron's hands.
I mean, he
at
was
least
able,
do
he,
your best.
He walked up the court.
He did, and
with
I didn't understand
left,
that.
Like, how do you not make him struggle a little bit?
I didn't understand that whatsoever. I thought it was a great move on Tyronn Lue's part for not calling timeout and doing the typical coach thing, which is let's run a play. And when you have LeBron
what
on the court,
do? Call a timeout. Out so LeBron can
yell at him. And yeah, have that all like, debacle. So LeBron, why'd you call a timeout? Wah.
So LeBron
you're
could
out next year. You're
LeBron
out.
Could draw up a play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I just thought many coaches in that instance don't have the fortitude,
the wherewithal.
Yeah, the wherewithal to say, hey, we got the best player on the planet. Let's just let him figure it out, because that's something you could, as a coach, that's the easy money call, I think. But I think a lot of coaches in that spot are going to say, let me call a timeout.
I mean,
but
you haven't seen a lot of coaches taking that gamble. You do see that action more often.
I mean, that's
often,
his second,
than it's lately
second buzzer beater this playoffs, right?
Yeah.
These playoffs. So
I mentioned that earlier. Maybe you should listen to the show.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, Statman Brad. Statman
right
Brad, you got some numbers for us on what LeBron's doing this season, this postseason?
I was doing the numbers. I knew he was going to be better than what he was averaging in his career. But my goodness. He is killing it right now. So his average points per game is 28.7 for his career. Right now he's 34.8. So almost,
averaging 35 a game in
postseason. Yeah, basically averaging 35 a game. His field goal percentage has gone up from 48.8 to 54.7.
Shooting over 50.
Yeah, and then another crazy number, his two-point field goal percentage is 61.1. So basically...
getting to the line all the time. Or fadeaways that are just dead.
Yeah, little getting to the line would not... count
I'm
that
sorry, getting to the hole. I paused. Getting to the hole. Yeah.
So, anyways,
hole, tomato to potato.
He moved his rebounds up from 8.9 to 9.5, and then moved his assist from 6.9 to 8.8. Now, comparing that to Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Magic Johnson in their careers, Michael Jordan 33.4 points per game in his career.
In the postseason.
These are all postseason stats here. And then Kobe Bryant, 25.6 points per game. Magic Johnson, only 19.5, but he was a point guard back then, a traditional point guard. On average for his postseason, 12.3 assists per game. So
wow,
that's why. And so
one thing to keep in mind when we're doing these counting stats, right, is the three point game really is kind of an evolution. For example, I think the most threes that Larry Bird ever hit in a single season was 84, and you just compare that to someone like Steph Curry's hitting well over 230 a season.
I don't even think Larry Bird has over 500 made threes in his career.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I think he's closer to 400 than he is 500. Yeah. And Larry Bird at the time was considered one of the best shooters in the league.
I mean, still is considered one of the best ever.
Sure. But that's just goes to show you how much the game has changed, how much the math on this game has changed, the evolution of the game. We're just shooting more threes than we ever have. So you have to take into account some of that. But I think LeBron James is the most gifted player to ever pick up a basketball, period. Now, you can talk about, you know, Michael Jordan's rings or whoever's rings, but when we're just talking all-around game, I've never, and I saw Jordan play, granted I was younger, and I saw him play in person twice, but I've never seen someone with this complete of a game. And so what we're watching is, I just want to take a second here, or the last 10 minutes of the show, to just, man, it's awesome. I mean, it's just, I mean, I know a lot of people out there hate LeBron James. I don't want to say Jake, the former host of the show. Shouts to our man Jake, who really put us on.
Godfather.
Got us our start here. But I know he's not a huge fan of LeBron, thinks he's a crybaby, which there's no disputing that.
Mm-hmm.
He's a passive-aggressive dude. Yeah. Yes, there's no disputing that. Never an off-court real incident besides sliding into a few girls' DMs. And who doesn't do that after a couple bottles of wine? You know what I mean? Like, he might as well shoot or shoot. You know what I'm saying? So I just, God, he's good. And there's no hot take here. Here's my hot take. LeBron James, really good.
really, really, really good.
Really good. So
really.
Really, though.
So, you're really? Welcome. You're welcome, people. This is where you come for hot takes that you hear nowhere else. TVP. Speaking of TVP, we have to take a moment to really just pay homage to the founder of our show, the person who started it all, our man, The Answer, Allen Iverson. This marks his 16th year anniversary, as Statman Brad told us. That was told to him by Statman Dad.
No,
wait, did you have this?
That was and by John.
Don't sweep the rug up from under
wow,
me.
Wow, I'm sorry for not giving you your proper credit.
Dude, I'm so sorry, John.
Hey, man, we all follow the same Instagram accounts anyway, man.
I know.
I know. Yeah, come on. Yeah, we all saw.
Yeah, John wasn't doing any real research. No. He was just going through Instagram. He was like, oh, this will be a fun
I'm on the
tidbit.
Pooper. I found something out.
That's where I get most of my news, on the toilet. But anyway, we want
to... emails.
We just want to pay respect because this name that was given to our show... We got to give respect where respect's due. Grant and Rick, who work here and put us on, suggested the name.
Shouts to our office dudes.
Yes, big up to them. They suggested the name, and immediately, once I brought it up to Derek, he's like, oh, yes.
I mean, it works
so
well.
And we knew it was perfect.
It's a
we knew it was perfect. So today, 16 years ago, today, on this day in history, Allen Iverson did the famous...
interview.
Post-game press conference. Not a game. We talking about practice, where he mentioned talking about practice 16 times. He said talking about practice in that interview on the 16th anniversary. So shouts to him, shouts to us. Let's keep it moving.
Yay.
AI.
History.
The answer.
So the Celtics look good.
They look really good.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
They lost their two best players.
The hell is going on?
Like,
yeah, is Gordon Hayward one of their two best players?
He could have been.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
At the start of the season, everyone thought
he was. I think the best-case scenario, though, was him going down that first game. I mean, if he plays 2 months of the season...
Jalen Brown doesn't develop the way he does. Yeah, Tatum doesn't develop
Rozier,
the way he...
A lot of these guys that are going to be stuck on the bench aren't coming off because of Hayward. Mm-hmm. Now are getting, you know, substantial minutes going into the playoffs. I mean, now the Celtics have trade bait. They have all this power going into the offseason... Regardless of what they do, I mean, I don't think they get past the Cavs, but regardless of what they do, they're looking
really good. They've already exceeded expectations.
How great would it be if the Celtics beat the Cavs without Kyrie Irving?
Oh, I would love that.
I wouldn't, just because I want to see...
You want to see Kyrie do it, but just like, I don't know, for Kyrie... Just
not
like
me,
Kyrie,
I don't care
what
about
Kyrie.
Kyrie
went through. And like, just say, oh, they can do it without me? Oh, okay.
Well,
right. Update on that series. Sixers just won.
Okay.
103-92.
3-1.
3-1 right now.
And the Sixers won at home. No big surprise. They had to win one.
Yep.
They're going to take one at home. I'm not shocked by this series at all. I think what we saw in the first series was a little bit of fool's gold. Just because I thought the Heat did not play the Sixers. They didn't play to their strengths and make the Sixers play to their weaknesses. What you've seen a lot of in this series... with Boston, the big adjustment that I've seen is they're not letting Ben Simmons get a running start, which should be pretty fairly obvious. He's 6'10", and if you ever look at his Heat chart, all his shots are around the rim. He cannot shoot. And the Heat were just letting him get a full head of steam, picking him up at the three-point line and then getting blown by, where you see what the Celtics are doing is oftentimes bringing a guy up, just making him work to get the ball up the court, and then oftentimes running that guy off to the two guard and bringing someone else up and either trapping or fake trapping Ben Simmons and just getting the ball out of his hands early, which has seemed to be effective.
Kind of what Toronto did to LeBron James, making an interesting... Oh, wait, no, they didn't do that.
You know what? Hold on. Let's go back to LeBron real quick.
Yep.
And we'll get right back to this Sixers-Celtics series. One thing that I've found... It's just funny to watch is when LeBron decides I'm not going to let you do anything on when LeBron decides on defense you're done scoring or affecting this game whatsoever. I've never seen someone be able to put the clamps on someone like that. So if you'll remember back, 2010, when I think that was Derrick Rose's MVP season. Maybe you could double check that for me, yep. Statman Brad. And I believe Chicago took a one-game series lead or something like that. And then LeBron just decided in the fourth quarter, hey, D-Rose, you ain't scoring no mo. And Derrick Rose had a hell of a time doing even just bringing the ball up the court. He just decided, LeBron decided, you're done, and he did that to Kyle Lowry in three games this series. And in three games, you see Kyle Lowry going from having confidence in the first three quarters to, I don't even want to touch the ball anymore.
Eeyore.
Yeah, he does always look sad. Also, another tidbit off that game, the look on the Raptors' faces after LeBron hit that running floater, priceless.
Glorious.
Priceless, and I could not help but think about you, Derek, because you're so often wrong with your hot takes. And this is one you've been true to for years, and you could not be more right.
I feel like this is the one that gives him confidence on all his other BS.
All the other ridiculous hot takes.
Next year's been fueled right now by this moment. Yeah, they have.
It really has been. Like, yeah. And he's not lying about this. Derek's going to ride this one hot take for the next year and be like, well, what about Toronto?
And there's
nothing any of us could say about it, and it's already infuriating me.
But you were on the wagon too of like just seeing
people. No, I was right, also the
fact that seeing people at home lose all hope is just fantastic.
It's great. Yeah, it's great
on TV. It's nothing better than that type of drama.
The Toronto Drakes, just the memes have been great. So let's get back to the Celtics series if we could, just real quick. Sorry for derailing us there. What I was saying earlier, my point was, I'm not surprised about, I think the only thing that I'm surprised about is that this is happening to the Sixers in round two as opposed to round one. Because I thought, look, right, we've seen it, whether you want to go back to the Bad Boy Pistons or Jordan's Bulls or Kobe's Lakers or her LeBron's Cavs, however you want to look back, there is always some suffering in the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. No team just gets formed and is all of a sudden winning a championship, save that the big three, that Celtics big three. Other than that, you always face your lumps in the playoffs. You learn how to play in the playoffs. You get better. You come back. I mean, even the Warriors did it. They lost a game seven to the Clippers in 2014, I want to say it was. So that's usually how things materialize. So I'm not surprised this is happening in the Sixers. What's your face?
Lost the game seven to the Clippers?
I'm gonna look that one up.
When did they ever lose a game seven to the Clippers?
Are you guys kidding me? You're a Warriors fan. You don't remember this?
The Clippers
in round two,
2014.
Yes. Are you guys kidding me right now? Maybe it was 13. Maybe I have the year wrong. You guys don't remember before the Warriors won their first championship in years.
Yeah,
I'll figure this out. You guys can stop fighting.
My God, Jesus, get some knowledge, okay? How about that?
More on John. I don't follow the Warriors.
Don't throw this on me.
It is on you.
Well, you did give me a look of disgust like that.
He gave me the look of disgust, so I just relayed it back to you.
Because I expected you to reaffirm his actions, what he just said.
Okay,
but you didn't know that either, so you reaffirmed me. You know, maybe it's wrong.
He's right.
I'm right?
No, he's right.
Okay. Well, pointing does not help people.
Sorry, my bad. Jarreau is right.
Thank you. Hold on, say that one more time.
Jarreau is right.
Oh, yes, that feels so good.
What year was it?
That was 2014.
Okay.
Right. Can you say that one more time, the first part of that sentence?
Jarreau is right.
Yeah, something I've never heard from my girlfriend in 5 years of dating. Anyway, yeah, I know I'm right.
Don't get used to it.
The point being is usually this is the lumps that teams take along the way of winning an NBA championship. And so I'm just surprised that the Sixers made it this far before their inexperience kicked in. And let's be real. What the Celtics are doing with no superstars, fairly amazing.
Well, I mean, granted he's a rookie, but we can't count out Jason Tatum not being a superstar.
I mean,
he's a rookie. It's surprising he's doing this in his rookie season. Yes.
Is it though?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. How many people actually, as a rookie, come out and are this effective? I mean,
you're telling me at the beginning of the season,
LeBron James,
exactly,
Magic Johnson.
It's easy to say that,
but LeBron didn't even make it to the playoffs his first year.
But at the same time, like, there's not; it's very few. There's few and far between. Extremely few. You know.
So we'll see what he does next year. But I mean, look at what Brad Stevens has done.
Look at what he's doing this year. I mean, scoring over 20 points a game in five different playoff games. I mean, besides Al Horford. There's no other offense really on that team besides a few buckets here and there from Rozier. I mean, Tatum is that offense.
No doubt.
He's making a name for himself. Even if there was Kyrie in that fold, it's them two working the offense through Al Horford.
And I think you have to realize the term superstar is meant for someone who's a longevity. He's earned that term. You know,
granted.
But their bit pieces is what is so surprising, right? Scary Terry, Rozier. Yeah. Coming up clutch, hitting a game or a game tying three in the previous series against Milwaukee. He's been clutch this series. Al Horford, who is a slept on star in the league, has been consistent. He hit a game winner the other night. And then the other
whatever
parts,
Morris twin is on the Celtics.
They're the same guy.
Yeah.
They're the same person. They just trade jerseys. Whenever one gets tired, the other one, he goes to the locker room.
Wait,
the
so
other
they're
one
not, whichever one doesn't make the playoffs, no, the other one
oh,
plays.
Oh, wait. I did argued against myself, right?
But yes, you did. But I get what you're saying.
But they're two different people, but they're the same, person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They got matching tattoos as twins. How messed up is that?
That's rude.
It is. I mean, they got to have something that signifies who's who, right?
Are they dating twins as well? No. All right. Well,
all right, Brad.
I'm going to go back just to my hole.
Back to your stats, buddy. you wanted to talk about the Rockets, Derek?
I mean, I was just saying, hey, man, they're doing what they're doing
they
out there.
They look
all
right.
They're up, what,
3-1? Yeah.
Can we both just, can we all just say that we're just waiting for Celtics, Cavs, Rockets, Warriors?
Yep.
Yeah.
Easily said. Yeah. Warriors are doing great. They lose game three, which I think is always the hardest game to win if you are the higher seed. You're going and you're up 2-0. You're going into their house. You'll never play a team that is more desperate than down 2-0 in their own building. So I wasn't surprised to see them lose.
Down 3-0 in their own building.
Well, at that point, it's almost like half the guys have packed their bags.
Yeah.
Like, see, oh, where am I going this summer?
Two, there's still hope.
Yeah.
Three, there's besides LeBron, everyone else gives up.
That hope.
So, yes, yeah. I think then we are all in agreement.
Yep.
Except for Derek.
Yeah.
Well, Derek's never been in agreement with anyone about anything.
That's the reason why he has this segment.
Unless someone's saying the Raptors are terrible.
Because then they're agreeing with me then at that point in time.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Take.
Yeah. There we go.
Thanks, Derek.
Brilliant.
All right. So, NBA playoffs. We could wrap that up. We're good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
I think so.
We're golden. Yeah.
Do you think Cavs win tonight?
Yes.
Sweep.
What do you guys think?
I think Raptors steal one.
Think so, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean,
thanks
that's
for
not
your,
an answer.
Thanks for your input,
I mean,
Brad.
I mean, like, here's the thing.
They're all packing their bags right now, and they're about to leave.
I'm saying Cleveland.
Like, let's get the hell out of Toronto, even though it's starting to get warm this time of year, and probably go down and party in L.A. That's what they do, right?
I mean, DeMar Rosen's from L.A., right? You would think so.
Yeah, he's from. Is he from Compton? Is he another Compton guy? Yeah. What's in the water in Compton? Why are there so many talented dudes coming out of Compton? Anyone?
I've only been
up in Northern California.
Sandman Brad,
so.
Can you get on that for us?
Yeah.
what's in the water?
Yeah, I think what you should Google is what's in the water.
Nothing
in Compton.
That's in Flint.
Okay, again.
All right, just, well then. I mean,
no, just not good.
All right. It's good to be back.
How you feeling? You feel all right?
This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Statman and Brad's in the building giving terrible jokes, very dry. These are jokes I'd expect from Statman Dad, but I'm guessing your dad's...
No, my dad's funnier.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm 100%. Yeah, no. I did not get those genes.
That's almost a guarantee. Shout out to Statman Dad. Thank you, thank you for keeping your son in check. We are talking about practice, and we are made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Paper Company, a family-owned cornerstone. It's also a corner store, so fair. Cornerstone of downtown Chico for over 40 years, located at 4th and Broadway. Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing studio and art gallery showing the largest selection of local and regional artists. Chico Paper Company can be reached by calling 891-0900 or at chicopapercompany.com. Or if you just want to come downtown, you can check them out. They're right below the KZFR building on the corner of 4th and Broadway. So you're welcome, Chico Paper Company, for the extra information there. Wish we got paid for that. No, I'm just joking. The station gets paid, but, you know, I'm just saying we should all get more money. Anyway.
Moving on.
Derek, you got some news for us?
I do have some news for us.
All right. Well, let's wait for that drop.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
So, occasionally I like to pull the curtain back. I got you. No, I got you. Hold on. The news is coming up. But John, who has been out of town for the last two shows, puts all this pressure on Derek and says it better be good right before the mic goes hot. So that's what we do around here.
I mean, is it not always good, though?
It's pretty solid, usually.
Yeah. It is solid. I'll give you like an 8.7.
Hold on. Oh, that's right, y'all. We have the news.
Yeah, you kind of messed me up there. So thanks for taking that from underneath me. Either way, guys, let's get this going because I do have some news, some stuff to inform you on the things going around you. Now, if you're on Twitter, I might recommend following dictionary.com because they like to go out there and roast some people. And in particular, our man, DJ Khaled. That is right. They got a hit on him this past weekend after DJ Khaled said some remarks that sparked a lot of outrage in the social justice community out there when he said he would not perform fellatio on his wife, but he expects it from her.
Ooh.
What? What a selfish...
2018.
Yeah, what a selfish dude out there. He would not do that to his wife, but he expects it from his wife because he's the king. Those are his words, apparently, allegedly. Something like that, along those lines. Either way, Dictionary.com came out, and they had a little tweet of the day action, and they said, double standard. A code containing different provisions for one group of people than another, especially an unwritten code of sexual behavior permitting men more freedom than women. See also DJ Khaled.
Nice.
Boom, roasted. DJ Khaled. Oh my gosh, why is he popular? Like, he has the stupidest dance move ever. Have you seen his dance moves, correct? We all seen that? Like,
yeah, they're
fat
all
man
terrible.
Just like flop around. Yeah, okay.
Have you seen skinny DJ Khaled?
I wish there was
such a thing.
Yeah, it's really weird. Anyways, go ahead.
Keeping the sexual nature going right now.
Oh, God, another sexual story?
Yeah, I don't know about you guys.
I'm comfortable.
The life of a racehorse, a retired racehorse.
Oh, this is good.
Oh, it's yes. pretty easy. American Pharoah, who has some lineage to war admiral.
It's American Pharoah.
American Pharoah, what did I say?
Pharoah.
American Pharoah.
It's okay. You're not good with words, it's but all that's good. Okay.
You don't need to be when you're this good with not words. American Pharoah is apparently having sex 3 times a day, and his owners are charging $200,000 per insemination.
Wow. How much is his owner making per year?
$30 million annually off his horse doing the dirty. That's right. What a little, that's a lucky horse. I mean,
that's a lucky horse.
It's got some great lineage. Got some great lineage. I'm trying to roll over it, but you know, yeah. All right. So, life of a retired racehorse. You're living pretty easy out there. Next up on the agenda. Sorry, guys. Phone's running super slow. You guys know the mountain in Game of Thrones, correct?
Yes.
I'm not going to try to say his name because it's Icelandic.
It's difficult.
And
Swedish.
It's, you know, not the easiest to go. Julius Bjornsson.
I'm not going to say his name. Here we go.
Yes. Because I actually just got the name in front of me right now. I was trying to filibuster until I got a name, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to go for it. Here it goes. Well, he has been crowned the strongest man in the world. If he wasn't already crowned that. I didn't know he wasn't. I thought he already kind of...
He gouged a guy's eyes out. I thought he already was.
I thought he really was, but it's now official, as he did actually participate in the strongman competition. We got to like list all those atlases on for those, like, you know, podiums. You seen those before?
Yeah.
He won that. And he is, he is now taking that title, like, you know, it's like
seriously.
Mine. You know, I thought he already was, but now it's official. It's official. He is pretty the strongest cool. man in the world. We'll appreciate him for that. Next up, last one on the menu.
Yeah, we got to get to your sister here.
He's coming up. For those of you who are a fan of Meek Mill and this whole series that's been going on with him, can actually catch our stories in a docu-series following Meek Mill's life. It's going to be produced by Jay-Z. So you know it's going to have a good time in there. I think it'd be an interesting story to see what he's gone through.
I think Neil Brennan, co-creator of Chappelle's Show, is directing it too. So
even better, good minds on it. Because I mean, you need more than just Jay-Z's the money behind it and the name, and then you bring on some good people afterwards. Bada bing, bada boom. We have a fun little docu-series that we get to look forward to, featuring Meek Mill. And
Meek Mill is an absolute legend. Okay,
he really has.
He got picked up by helicopter from the owner of the Sixers after getting released from prison to go to a Sixers game and sit courtside, all paid by the owner of the Sixers. Robert Kraft visited him twice in jail. He is a rapper, people. He's a legend.
I mean, he's going to be in history books.
He will be.
Yeah.
We're going to read about Meek one day. I mean, there's plenty of other black men in jail that don't get nearly that love.
Trial of Meek Mill.
So here's the deal, guys. If you're black and you are going to go to jail, be a really good rapper, and everyone will get behind you.
I'm with it.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's move off of that. Thank you for the news. Good as always, Derek.
What'd I tell you?
Well, it was okay as always.
Come on.
Let's go to our hockey correspondent down in L.A., Aaron Isumaki. Aaron, are you there?
Hello there.
What's happening? How you doing?
Dude, I'm great.
Excellent.
Glad to see you made it back from your long road trip.
Yeah, after your brother killed us on the last radio show and RIP'd us to begin it, but...
Whoa, I keep it alive and well out here. That was the highest rated show we'd ever had.
Was it?
Probably.
Just prove it. Just prove me right now.
More beards, higher rating.
There you go.
I will say, Aaron and Will were the best part of last week's show. You guys
and
were
guess what
horrible.
I did? I brought them on, so I just created the best show possible.
Anyway, moving on. Aaron, what's happening? The Sharks are out. Can we start there?
How about them Kings? Or how about them Vegas Knights?
I wish it was the Kings.
I know, sorry. I got a little caught up there.
Yeah.
How about them Vegas Knights, though? I mean, it's kind of unreal.
I don't care for them.
Did they actually sweep them? It swept? It's over?
No. Oh, it went to game six.
Yeah.
4-2. Okay.
All right.
4-2. So,
it's still over for the
Sharks. I was a happy camper. Right.
Sharks always find a way to break my heart. It's fun.
No, they've done this forever now.
Was this the, what was the series where we had some guy licking face out there?
So that's Brad Marchand of the Bruins.
Ah, yeah,
that's
right. That's
been one of the big stories. He's out now.
Okay, thank God.
But he is pretty much the greatest story of all time. I love him.
So can you give us some background? Because I just heard about this moments ago.
Okay, so this guy, Brad Marchand of the Bruins, he's a left wing, and he's just a real scrappy player. He's kind of known as the enforcer. He's small in stature. He's 5'8", but he's always been real scrappy. And his thing is whatever it takes. And he's known for this, you know. They have, like, a top 20 of his best, you know, outrageous things of all time. And there's a top 20 for a reason. So, you know, he's licking people's faces, and that's kind of what he does. He just gets to you. So after they were eliminated, I think it was the Maple Leafs that tweeted something to the effect of, you know, in golfing, they don't appreciate licking either. And he tweeted back, hey, you know what? You shouldn't be, you know, talking trash if you didn't even make it, you know, as far as I did. So
nice.
That's kind of what he's known for. He's great, though. He's real scrappy.
He's like the Rajon Rondo of hockey.
Hey, you want to get closer to your mic? That'd be great.
He is not feeling it right now.
You have this look of, like, complete despair.
No, it's the Sharks. It's the Sharks. The Sharks are really bringing him down today. What else do we have going on? Can you quickly update us on the other series going on, Aaron?
Yeah, so the Capitals are playing right now, the Penguins, and the score is 1-1. Capitals are probably going to win, which means they're going to eliminate the Penguins.
Wait, what? What? Ovi's going to go on to the next round?
To an actual final.
Impressive.
Yep.
Good on him.
So,
and we have Nashville, Winnipeg, right?
No, it's Nashville.
Winnipeg.
Nashville,
oh, it's Winnipeg Jets. That's right. I forgot. Keep forgetting about those guys.
Predators, yeah.
What's that one looking at? What's the series at that?
Tomorrow is game six. Predators are down 2. Winnipeg has 3 games, and it's at home tomorrow for Winnipeg. So
The
odds are Vegas is going to be playing Winnipeg to go to the Stanley Final. So
Stanley
looking
Cups.
Good for Vegas.
There we go.
Yeah, this.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Winnipeg would be fun too. You know, give Canada the cup. When's the last time they won the cup in Canada?
I mean, do we care about Canadians? This is America, guys.
Fine. All right, going that route then. Yeah,
Canadian,
yeah. I mean, I did just roast them in the NBA segment. Might as well keep on the hating on Canada.
It's been 18 years.
18 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Statman Brad.
You're welcome.
We got anything else for Aaron right now? Any other questions?
So we got other than the looking guy. And he's out right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Bruins are done.
Right. That's unfortunate.
Bruins move on.
I mean, someone mentioned last week that, you know, the Vegas is so good despite the fact that they're expansion team just because the rules have changed. So, I mean, I've got some stats on that if you want.
Yes, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay, so old expansion rules were, I mean, the way it works, you know, is everyone has to give up a few players and, you know, the expansion team, get to pick and choose. So they made the expansion rules less stringent, which means that you had to make probably potentially better players available for Vegas pick.
Okay.
They got better picks. They legitimately did. But it tends to be that NHL expansion teams do better in their expansion years than other sports teams. And hockey is a little more volatile with the stats. You know,
sure.
They're fairly unreliable, usually. So, you know, you're right. They got a better pick, but they're doing right. And is it the coaching? You know, is it Vegas Blue? Who knows? But they're on a historic run.
It's unbelievable what they're doing this season, and what they did to our Sharks was just sad. So
it was brilliant.
So anyway.
Is there only one happy guy in this room now?
Yeah. Maybe you should actually leave. Aaron, thanks as always. We will we'll catch up with you next week, okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Omi. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
All right. You know, it's been so delightful having Aaron on as our hockey correspondent. She took the job serious. She's done a great job, and she often saves the show. So thank you to Aaron. We appreciate having her on, and she will be on every show until the Stanley Cup Finals wrap, and then we'll give her some other assignment to watch sports that we don't watch or pay attention to.
I mean, I just want to let everyone know right now, you cannot see it, but it's great television looking at John right now.
Oh, this John, he is bitter.
Yeah. You look like you would rather be anywhere in the world than here right now.
He looks like he's taking an 8 a.m. final that he did not prepare for.
Solid.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I think.
Do you want to talk about it on air?
I'm just so sick of the Sharks blowing it, you know?
But you should just be used to it.
No, I'm never going to get used to it.
Well, that's on you then, buddy.
They're the Falcons of the NHL.
You watch your mouth, Brad.
I think that's a great comparison.
No, that's not a great comparison.
I think it is.
No.
What have they done in the playoffs? Tell me.
Have they ever won the Stanley Cup? No, they haven't.
They were up 3-0 against the Kings.
Yeah,
and they blew it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, I think it's circa 97, I want to say, when they lost to the Maple Leafs, and they scored a goal. That was the day I stopped my hockey fandom and started paying way more attention to basketball, because they scored a goal that went off the back crossbar, and this was before replay was a thing, and they discounted the goal, and that would have led the Sharks to going on to the next round and possibly a Stanley Cup appearance. And that day I was like, okay, I'm done with you. And then I keep crawling back every postseason thinking, okay, maybe this is the year. And nope. Inevitably the Sharks end up blowing it. So just do yourself a favor and get off that narcotic. They're not going to
win. Well, they just
look
so great against the Ducks. And then coming in, I mean, obviously we had an uphill climb against, you know, the Knights, or the Golden Knights, worst name in hockey. But
the Golden will drop soon.
But yeah, I mean,
get yourself a Golden Knight jersey, guys.
Unless they win the Stanley Cup, then it'll stay.
All right, we got a foot and mouth coming up, but before we get there, we have to hit this North State update with Statman Brad.
All right.
So let's fly through the first part as quick as
Sounds
we can,
good.
If
can
you wouldn't
that.
Mind, and then we'll get into the real important stuff on the back end. So let's
do
that. He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
What is up, y'all? It's my North State Update. Right now, Chico State's hitting the playoffs with their baseball and softball teams. Baseball wrapped it up on Friday. They clinched the number 3 spot in the CCAA. They'll play Cal Poly Pomona, who they played 2 weeks ago, and they'll play in Stockton on Wednesday.
Let's go, Wildcat!
So, it's top 6 teams in the CCAA. Wildcats are number 3. They'll play in Cal Poly Pomona. So you can listen to them on KPAY. That game time has not been disclosed yet, so we will give you updates on our Twitter. Then softball is number 2 in the country, number 1 in the West region. They just won the CCAA tournament for the first time in their 50-year history. Congratulations, Wildcats. So with that number 1 in the West region, they'll be playing against Northwest Nazarene with Cal Baptist and UC San Diego in their playoffs. So they have 2 different sections in softball. The regions are split up into 2, and then they'll come together for a super regional. So you have 4 teams in one, and then 4 teams in another. The best team from that play-in plays in the super regional, best of 3 there. Then they go into the World Series. So
Chico State only has to win 3 games in their first little tournament to get to the Super Regionals, then win 2 out of 3 to go to the World Series. So
awesome.
It's looking really good.
Right on, ladies.
So
get it done.
Now we're going to turn to the fees. This is the big story.
I'm going to bring the music down because this is something.
A few weeks ago, beginning of this semester, they're talking about bringing up the fees because the athletics fee and the health fee and the student learning fee had not been changed in over about 20 years. It's been inflation increase. That's
since
about
98.
It. Since 98.
That's insane.
Well, actually, 92 was the last time it was increased for sports. 98 was the health fee increase. So regardless, 20 years ago in the 90s, it's a completely different like pay for what it should be today. So they were getting like a feel for what the students wanted, and they voted that they didn't want the fees. They didn't want the increases, which means they would have lost a heck of a lot of health, like healthcare that they can get on campus. They would have been spending a lot more money going to the health center, and that doesn't just include going and getting like your prescriptions or whatnot. That's like your mental health, your like whatever you need help with outside of school, you go there. And that would have been lost, or you would have had to pay a lot of money just to go there now. So you're just not in the fees
anymore.
And Chico
State has a really good program for students. Just exactly. For example, their medicine is so cheap and affordable for students. You could go get Claritin for like $250 at the student health center where it's, you know,
yeah, like you can
12
get
bucks anywhere else.
That would cost about $1,500 for like maybe $20-$30.
Yeah.
So you're saving so much money. And it's like, oh, you're paying $200 more a semester. It's like, you should have been paying that a long time ago, guys. We should have been paying that a long time ago.
So students, listen up. You have a responsibility to your fellow students. This is, look, you're paying a few $100 more a semester. I get it. But for the most part, many of you aren't paying it out of pocket. It's not like you worked your whole life to pay this. I get it. A lot of you are taking out student loans. And if you have $100 extra a semester, over time, adds up. I get it. But listen, they're talking about cutting the sports programs here at Chico State, completely getting rid of them, period.
And that's not just the 13 like sports that Chico State has under the NCAA. That's also
club teams, everything.
And intramurals.
Yeah.
So all that would have been is going
to
be gone.
A boring college to go to.
It would be. Well, I mean, you'd imagine that somehow, some way, they'd have to save it. But again, the students would be repaying for what they already were going to pay for anyways.
And honestly, shame on the administration for not pushing this a little harder. This is something that's really important. There's how many students? You said it last week
on the radio show.
How many students are?
About 350 for the NCAA, for the 13 like NCAA recognized.
Yeah.
And then around 1,100 for the club sports.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more, and then with including intramurals, that's close to 4,000.
Now, didn't I hear that they just pushed to accept the fees anyway?
So, what was going to happen was the vote was meant for President Hutchins and her board to get a feel of what these students wanted.
Okay.
And it was just like, hey, this is like...
Well, it's like fans.
It's like, hey, what do you guys want? Is this what you really want? And then they took it, they looked at it, and it's like, well, this is actually important. We need to pass this because what any... In my opinion, logical person would realize you've been paying cheap tuition for a long time because this hasn't been passed. So it needed to be passed a long time ago, and it needed to increase a long time ago. And it's not going to come in all at once. It's progression. I think it's $50-$60 per thing in the first semester, and then it's just going to go up from there. Like $3-$4 per semester after that, just to get to where it needs to be.
It's really not that much.
No, you know? And it's
especially like I said, what the services that we do have out here on this campus, they're pretty awesome. You know, you can get to yourself pretty much a full-on doctor's visit out there.
Yep.
For nothing. Next to nothing. So, yeah. You know, go out there, you know, break some bones, use those x-rays. Don't do that, but, you know, utilize them.
Well, it's just a shame that this is even on the table. I mean, this should have been done years ago. We had a president years and years back cut the football program, which, again, is a shame. And on average, student-athletes have better grades, a grade point average, than your regular students.
Yeah.
They have to work hard. They have to be disciplined. And it gives them an opportunity to really prepare them for the world in a competitive environment where they have to be disciplined, wake up. They can't necessarily go out and rage like the rest of us students. We already have a reputation in this town for drinking too much. And this gives freshmen, sophomores, under 21-year-olds something to do on a Thursday night that doesn't involve getting hammered, and they're threatening to take this away. This is a serious thing, guys. So
I'm glad that they get the fee increase. Anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, and exactly. Yeah. I mean, just kind of perspective, like 25 years ago, they voted for the fee, and that was $40 a semester. It increased for the inflation adjustments to $97, where we are today. So it went up $57 in 25 years. Inflation and the cost of living has not it's increased a lot more than that. So $57 is nothing. Like, you're living off of, yeah, 90s budget. It's not fun. And no one's winning on this. So I'm glad that they passed it.
Oh, it did pass.
No, it passed. No, I was going to say.
Yeah, no, I'm just, it's good. Because
but there's a lot of student lashback now, and then there was a little bit of a showing in front of Kendall Hall, I heard. Is that right?
That John saw. Yeah. You witnessed with your own two eyes. But yeah,
got pretty intense.
I'm glad
welcome
we've
to the real world, people.
I'm glad they figured it out, because that would have been a real shame to lose.
Hey man, you gotta pay insurance every month.
I'm just saying, your R's are off today.
I can't help it. Okay, I could help it, but I don't want to help it. Right
you've been
now.
Swallowing your R's. It's been pretty glaring.
I'm worried.
Let it happen. Okay?
It's kind of scary.
let it go.
We'll see what the administration actually does about this, and hopefully they don't like come back on it. It's like, oh wait, they actually don't want it, and then just pull back the fees, which I really hope doesn't happen.
Not to mention, a lot of those people in administration are making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Their per diem for traveling is ridiculous. All public record. Feel free to look into it.
Yeah.
It's a joke. So,
I can see why the students are mad. I'm mad for them, because that's ridiculous how much they get paid.
I just want to see, where did they get these numbers from? Where did they get their information that the students don't want this? Were they polling people?
No, they actually had a vote on campus.
Oh, like, gotcha.
How many people showed up for that vote?
It was around 5,000.
Okay, 4,000 number.
That's a so it's like number, it's a decent number, but it's like,
well, then shame on you, students. Shame on everyone involved.
Yeah, but this
shame.
This
shame,
should have been passed shame. A long time ago. So
agreed.
I'm surprised that the students. Like, I was shocked that the students didn't want it. I'm like, do you guys not realize how cheap you guys have been having it here?
No,
Chico?
Of course not, because students complain about
everything.
Yeah, but whoever
wants anything increased in their life? Well, you know, if you're paying a certain thing and have change. A certain service, why would you? I mean, I granted it is a good thing that this is going through, but I mean, think about it. I mean, you're
you
living your day to day life,
know,
and someone's
understand.
Like, "Hey, you got to pay this much more."
Well,
now.
I completely understand.
It, and if Chico State really wanted to help students out, you know what they would do to lower tuition? Get rid of stupid pathways. Who needs three classes in upper division general education? Why did we take 60 units of undergrad in general education? It is so stupid. Chico State, you want to make a change? You want to help your students out? You want to save them some money? Let them graduate on time instead of giving them meaningless classes that the teachers don't want to teach and the students don't want to attend, because it does not help anyone, period. It does nothing. It is a waste of time.
I mean, it took me 6 years to get out of college.
I'm passionate about that subject.
No, preach. I could have got out in three.
Yes, most of us could have been done at least a semester earlier if they didn't give us three BS classes that no one needs. So, Chico State, do a better job, okay?
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
No,
I wouldn't even just say three classes. There are more than just three classes that are BS when it comes down to
it. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about there are nine units that are mandatory, upper division,
of course.
General education. Why do I need to take more history? I have been taught history since kindergarten.
I can watch a Nova, you know. I can get that history lesson some other time.
Exactly. Nova, nice drop. I'm going to give you props on that. That was your best contribution to the show so far. You want to jump into Foot and Mouth?
Yeah, let's do it.
Are we going to get Will on the phone? Or is
I don't know. He's supposed to come in today, but...
So he's not here.
He's not here, no. We don't
all
have
right,
a real
I'll be your Will.
Us.
I will pretend that I know what in the hell you're talking about.
El Clasico is going to be a fun one.
Oh, that... Yeah. Will you not steal all this stuff? We have been stealing Derek's thunder today. Let's do this.
And now, it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Yes. What's up, everybody? It's time for a little foot and mouth with your boy. Because that's what I do here. I love me some soccer. I know you guys do, too. And enjoy it with me as well. And I really just can't talk today. The less I talk, the better. But it's too late now. I'm already too deep in.
Football!
I gotta go. I gotta go. Keep pledging on. And that's what we're gonna do. Because Champions League was last week, guys.
Yep.
We had a fantastic run. Now, once again, there's always some referee issues out there. In Roma! Now, I love your boys in Liverpool, but Roma got gypped, man. They got gypped. They had a good chance to actually make up the goal difference that they did against Barcelona.
Yep.
And they just had a lot of calls that didn't go their way that should have been. A penalty here, free kick there, foul not called, bada bing, bada boom. Liverpool skates by, and they still make the final. So good on to Liverpool. Can't fault them for that because they've had a fantastic run, and they clearly are the better squad than Roma. But Roma came out to play that game, and they had something, a fire underneath them. And they really believed, because they did against Barcelona. Barcelona, a team that is in the lures of football history, with Leo Messi at the side, that they took him down, that they believe they could do the same to Liverpool. Ah, not quite. Sorry, Roma. Miracles don't always happen twice. But Salah is in the final, and that's something we can be happy about.
My squad, Liverpool.
In the final with Real Madrid, and that ultimately makes the best matchup, I feel. Yep. They had the best chance of taking down Real Madrid. And I'd speak for a lot of people out there when I hate Real Madrid.
Is it a Cristiano Ronaldo thing? Or is
he's part
team,
of
the
it.
Whole
he's,
team.
He, the whole team, a lot of people on there, like Sergio Ramos. I respect for the guys. They're all great players, no doubt. But they're all just, there's something about them just annoys me.
It's like the Lakers.
Or the Dodgers.
Yes.
Or none of those above. either way, they're like the Yankees. They're the Yankees of the age, you know? And it would be nice to see Liverpool take them down. I think a lot of people are on that wagon. You pretty much got most of the world rooting for Liverpool other than just Real Madrid fans, because you got Barcelona fans and pretty much everyone who hates Real Madrid, which is a large company of people. They hate Cristiano Ronaldo, even though the guy is fantastic.
A great.
He's a goat. He's for sure. Speaking of goatness, he was in action again this weekend when El Clasico took place on Sunday. For those of you who don't know, El Clasico is when Real Madrid and Barcelona face off. And it always, always proves to be one of the spectacular games, filled with emotion, some dirty tackles, and obviously some referees that should be fired again. Once again, the refs, they always get into play, especially with Real Madrid. There's something about them. The conspiracies run amok when it comes to Real Madrid and referees and what they do. They always say they pay them off. The players even say it too. But Real Madrid, they did tie with Barcelona in the Camp Nou, which was still a good come up for them. They've had a tough season in La Liga. Barcelona has still remained unbeaten in La Liga play, which is amazing for them. So they have yet to lose a game, have yet to drop. They've always gained a point at least from every game they've played this season, and they've already won the title. They've locked it up. Real Madrid really just trying to make sure that they maintain a Champions League spot. They're not really in any danger of losing it, being in the top four. They'll be all right. But the real thing is, Liverpool, Real Madrid, Champions League final.
When is that?
June. So we have a ways to go. But, you know.
Hey. I think it's May 24th, but whatever.
All right.
Tomato, potato.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Sometime. It's like about a month away, guys. You usually wait for all the leagues to be over for that final to be played. They want that to be the pinnacle of the season. So whenever all the seasons are over, that will usually be played a week after that or
sweet.
So.
Yeah, because we have the World Cup here, so I think it's going to be early.
World Cup in June?
Yep. Yeah, it starts in June. So that's coming up soon. I can't wait, guys. I really can't. But yeah, next time we'll hopefully get my real Italian on again, because he knows, he's way better at this. He knows his stuff. He does. Foot and mouth, guys.
Foot and mouth. We appreciate it. This was not on the rundown, but I'm going to throw it in unless we have something real quick. Anyone? All right.
We have our
topics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On this day, let's mow through them real quick. Right.
On this day in history, in 1789, George Washington attends inaugural balls in his honor. In 1896, I think you've infected me there, bud. A serial killer is hung. Dr. H.H. Holmes, America's first well-known serial killer, is hung to death in Philadelphia.
There we go. Okay.
Yep. In 1965, Keith Richards writes Satisfaction. Yeah, great song. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
In 1995, Reggie Miller scores 8 points in 11 seconds to beat the Knicks.
That's a good one.
And in 2016, Big Sexy goes yard. Bartolo Colon against the San Diego Padres. First home run in his career. Come on, guys.
At what, that's 40 years old?
Yeah. That's exciting.
Sorry, that's awesome.
You said Big Sexy. It took me a minute.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that threw me off, too. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, can I hate on something real quick?
You can hate on a lot of
the
things.
The player haters ball. Oh man, hey.
Why you wanna play hate on me?
Yes, this is the Player Haters Bowl. My name is Jarrell Gilbert, and if you don't know, I hate most things. I love hating. It's what I feel like I was born to do. That's why me and Derek get along so well. We wake up, and each morning, Derek and I both take a shot of Haterade. We text each other, make sure we took our shot of Haterade, and then we go about our day hating things. What I'm hating on this week is the reaction to Kanye West. Y'all that dumb? Are y'all that dumb? We're still getting shocked by what Kanye West says. This man has been saying dumb stuff for about 18 years now. He's been in the limelight since really 02-03. And since then, he has been saying dumb stuff. Why are we still shocked? Because guess what he's going to do? He's going to drop an album, and you're still going to go buy it, and he's going to make great music, and we're all going to listen to it. So that's what I'm hating on. All you idiots out there that are like, oh, Kanye, I can't believe you would say that. It's like, really? Have you not been paying attention? I get it. If you don't really follow hip-hop and you're like, oh my God, he said slavery was a choice. Yes, if you're new to this, then okay, I understand why that would be shocking. But Kanye West, since day one, has been saying dumb stuff. Can we stop overreacting to it? Because he's married to a Kardashian. Do you think that's where we're going for insightful words of wisdom? No.
I hope not.
God, is that what this country's coming to? Because let me tell you, we're already in a pretty deplorable place. But if that's where we're going, where we're taking the words of a man who's married to a Kardashian, seriously?
That guy probably has a bigger platform than most anyone else in this world right now. Though.
Compared to most of the stuff he said, George Bush hates black people or does not care about black people might be the most spot-on thing he said. And I don't even agree with that. But I think if you just look at all his interviews over the history, he's always said dumb, crazy, he's a lunatic.
Do we not realize whenever anybody has anything new dropping out pretty soon, they're always going to do something just a little bit insightful.
Guess what?
What you talking about, though?
Guess who's dropping an album this month?
Wait, who?
Or two
who?
Albums.
Tell us. Who?
Kanye West.
Wait, oh, my gosh. Two? What?
Yeah, well, he's producing Nas's.
Oh.
He's dropping one with Kid Cudi.